Good morning. I'm Jonathan New, and I welcome you to worship with First Congregational Church of Natick, an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. I greet you in the name of the God who blesses us with many gifts, and in the name of Jesus, who calls us to use those gifts so that others might know the extravagant love of God. We hope that by our worship this day, that you will be able to experience such love, knowing that you are in the company of those whose hearts are open and warm, those who are meeting you with an open spirit and one of welcome and of affirmation. We extend a particular welcome to those of you who might be worshiping with us this day by our live streamed or our recorded worship. We know that this is a time when we can't be physically together in worship, but it's also a time when we are remembering that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are yet one in the body of Christ. No matter who you are or where you might be on life's journey, you are warmly welcomed by this congregation. We have a few announcements that we would like to share with this congregation this morning. As always, we thank our worship leaders for the many ways that they're using their gifts to bless us and to be instruments of God in being the people of God in the world and of worshiping our God. And so we give thanks for Sarah Lynn Keller and Bill Ladd and Wayne Zaretter, Tom Foster, and Beth Canterbury, and also to Hank Zaretter and Randy Brewer, and all of the staff at Natick Pegasus for helping us on the technical end of things to make this worship possible for the many who are gathered this day and in the days to come. We have a time during our worship when we celebrate the lighting of the Christ candle. And so as I do that, I invite you to have a candle yourself to help make your worship space one that is sacred to you, one where you know the love of God and the presence of the Holy Spirit is with you. So have a candle and do light it with me as I light the one that I have here with me. We have a time always during our worship when we lift up prayer concerns and celebrations. You'll find many of those in your bulletin, but there is also the opportunity for you to share those with us this morning. So if we receive those by the time of the reflection that I'll be offering after the scripture, we should be able to incorporate them into prayer this day. And so we invite you to do that. You can do that by emailing us at prayers@firstchurchnatick.org. So we look forward to receiving those and sharing them. We have a time of post-worship fellowship via Zoom video conferencing that follows immediately after our worship. There's a link to this in your bulletin, also on the church's website, and you would find it as well in our church's weekly link emailing. So we look forward to seeing you following our worship for that time of fellowship and sharing. We're coming into a time of the year when we think about the coming year and the plans that we have to be the church in the world and blessing that world by using the power that we have to extend the light of Christ into the world. Indeed, we are ones who are the light of the world, and we're called to reflect that brightly into our world. And so one of the ways that we do that is by pooling our financial means to make the mission and ministry of God's work possible through this church, First Congregational Church of Natick. So we're going to be inviting you to do that. Most of you will be receiving a letter inviting you to send us an estimate of giving for the coming year to let us know what you might be able to do in terms of supporting this congregation's mission and ministry financially. And on Sunday, November 8th, we will be lifting up those estimates of giving and sharing with you what we know about that the church's commitment to making this possible. So an invitation going out to you this day, and we look forward to being engaged with you in a conversation about how we make church happen, and in particular, make this mission and ministry happen together. Sarah Lynn, I believe that you have some announcements to share as well this morning.
I do, thank you. Good morning. We invite people to think about making a nomination for people to serve on the transition team. This is the first part of our pastoral search process, and we will be receiving nominations through this coming Saturday. So if you know someone who you think would be good for this first step of the pastoral search, please be in contact with us. There is a link, an online nomination link on the church website and in the link weekly emails. You can also contact our church administrator, Peg, at admin@firstchurchnatick.org. And we're coming down to the final week of before Election Day, which is the deadline for your ballots to be sent in. And so we encourage you to have a voting plan and to vote early if you can in this coming week. And we also encourage everyone to take a look at the Creation Voter Pledge through the UCC and to take that pledge, to be a part of this movement where we pledge to vote our environmental values. And you can find that information in the link email and also on our church website and in the Good Word newsletter. We really are hoping for a large percentage of our congregation to take this pledge. And so we encourage you to take a look at that and see if it is something that you can do. And we invite you to our midweek connection and prayer that happens on Wednesday at noon. A small group gathers to share prayer requests and spend some time in prayer with one another. It's a really wonderful time, and you are all invited to join us on that Zoom call. I also want to remind you that Jonathan is always available for pastoral care needs, and you can contact him for any of that via his email or mobile phone number that you can find on the website. And if you are interested in learning more about First Church Natick and perhaps joining our congregation, we will be receiving new members on a Sunday in November. And Jonathan is going to gather a group of people who are interested in a newcomer gathering to talk and learn more about our church.
Thank you, Sarah Lynn. Let us now light our candles together, remembering as we receive the light of the Spirit that we are indeed the light of the world, called to make that light shine forth into every darkened corner where the light of God is needed. So let us continue our worship now with our responsive call to celebration.
Please join me in the responsive call to celebration. We are wondrously made,
fashioned with care in the womb.
We are called by name,
sent to tear down and build up, beckoned to pluck out and plant in love and justice.
We are endowed with gifts of every kind,
called to be stewards of each, that all might live in God's kingdom of love.
Thank you.
Please join me in our opening prayer. You have been gracious, you have been good to us, O gracious God, for the gift of skills and talents and for an abundant harvest in our life's work. We pour out our gratitude. You have dealt wondrously with us so that we have more than we need. Dwell with us now that we may not only be inspired to share, but also prompted to work together for a more just world in which all your children have the physical and spiritual nourishment they need and reasons for joy. Amen.
I invite you now to share the peace of Christ, to reach out your hands in a gesture of blessing, perhaps to put your hands over your heart as a way to open yourselves to God and open yourself to sharing the love of God with others, or perhaps to offer the word namaste with a bow, which conveys the sense that the divine in me recognizes and honors the divine in you. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
So we come to a time during our worship now that we think of the many gifts that God has blessed us with, the talents and abilities we have, the gift of time, and the gift of money resources as well, all of which can be used to further God's mission in the world. And so we invite you to be reflective upon the ways that you can use those gifts to do so. And in particular, through this church and its mission and ministry. So we invite you to continue to be the generous people who you are. There are ways to continue your financial support of the church. Of course, a check can be sent to the church at any time and mailed to the church's office, but you can also make an online contribution to the church through our website at www.firstchurchnatick.org. We hope that you will continue to be people who are engaged in helping the mission and ministry of this church continue well. Let us present now with joy our offerings of thanks and praise and our support for the caregiving work of the church in the loving ministry of Jesus Christ. us pray together. Gracious God, we have opened our hands to give of our wealth and of ourselves. Bless now these gifts and our giving. Keep our hands open so that we might give again when we see the needs of any or our own need to give. And yet a little longer, O God, keep our hands open that we might receive and give thanks for all good gifts from you. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Good morning. The scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verses 30 through 44. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest for a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. When it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now very late. Send them away so that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy something for themselves to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "Are we to go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves have you? Go and see." When they found out, they said, "Five and two fish." Then he ordered them to get all the people to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and of fifties. Taking the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. And he divided the two fish among them all. And all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. Those who had eaten the loaves numbered 5,000. Here ends the reading.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may recall that back on Labor Day weekends, I preached about the place of work in our lives. And I talked about when we used to live in Vermont and had a fireplace and what that most satisfying kind of work activity that I had there, which is my wood pile, swinging the splitting maul, which you see me doing here some years ago with my daughter when she was much younger, looking on as supervisor. And then, of course, neatly stacking that wood. I could see its results, and I knew it would make a difference come winter. What I didn't mention at last time that I spoke about this was one of the other reasons that I like it so much. See, I'm one of those people for whom the fall season, with its gradually darkening days, takes its toll. I feel it growing progressively darker, and I eagerly await the winter solstice and the lengthening of days. My smiles are a little bit harder to produce. And in a year like this, and really, has there ever been a year like this? That's even harder. But without fail, that woodpile would make me smile. Would make me smile, for there it was with its latent power, waiting in readiness to drive back the cold and to drive back the dark. Almost always, Frost's poem, The Woodpile, comes to mind. He writes, "It was a cord of maple cut and split and piled and measured 4 by 4 by 8. And not another like it could I see. No runner tracks in this year's snow looped near it. And it was older, sure, than this year's cutting, or even last year's or the years before. The wood was gray and the bark was warping off of it, and the pile somewhat sunken. I thought that only someone who lived in turning to fresh tasks could so forget his handiwork on which he spent himself, the labor of his axe, and leave it there far from a useful fireplace to warm the frozen swamp as best it could with the slow, smokeless burning of decay." The slow, smokeless burning of decay. Well, like Frost, I am absolutely certain that Jesus would have lamented this waste of resources. After all, the feeding of the 5,000 shows that Jesus took power seriously. The disciples want to send the people away to get their meal. When Jesus says, "You give them something to eat," they're completely taken aback. "We don't have enough money to buy food for all these people," they say. And of course, Jesus responds in a classic Jesus way. He asks a question, and that question, of course, is, "Well, what do you have? Go find out what you have." And as it turns out, the loaves and the fishes that they found they already had were enough and to spare. "We have nothing," they say. Well, we often beg off the same way. We say, "I have nothing." We say, "I'm too busy." We say, I've already done my share." We say, and this isn't my area of expertise. Like us, the disciples were either unaware that they had the resources to fulfill Jesus' command or something else, or they just couldn't believe it. They just couldn't believe it. And yet, assuming us to be gifted, powerful people, Jesus challenges us to believe that God isn't going to send others away empty. That what we have to share with them will fill them. Part of the disciples' problem, I think, was that they simply didn't think they could make a difference. Indeed, when we compare ourselves to the magnitude of the need around us, we can so easily feel absolutely overwhelmed. And yet, as Archimedes said, "Give me a lever long enough, give me a fulcrum strong enough, give me a place to stand and single-handed, I will move the world." Simple tools in the hands of the small can be powerful. A contemporary appraisal of our true power is found in the now classic book by Malcolm Gladwell, The Tipping Point, How Little Things Can Make a Big Difference. And in one example from that book, he talks about how most of us expect a rough approximation between cause and effect. "But consider," he says, "what if I take a large piece of paper and I fold it again and again until I've folded it and refolded it 50 times, assuming that that were possible? I bet you'd be surprised," he says, "how tall that stack would be. No joke, no joke. It would be nearly the distance to the sun. Infinitesimally wide, but 93 million miles high. And if I folded it one more time," he says, "well, it would be the distance to the sun and back." This is geometric progression. 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, etc., with the common ratio being 2. By the time you get just halfway through these calculations, you're already at 33 million. 38 folds, and you're at 275 billion. So you see how this works. We need to prepare ourselves, says Gladwell, for the possibility that sometimes big changes follow from small events, and that sometimes these changes can happen very, very quickly. Gladwell's tipping point is that dramatic moment when, because of tiny changes, an entire situation changes overnight. And so he tells the story of how New York City officials fought serious subway crime by first halting small crimes, such as turnstile jumping. When some cheated the system, others who might otherwise not have considered it joined in. But when it was clear that even these small crimes wouldn't be tolerated, what was once a subway crime epidemic was tipped back the other way. And then when subway criminals behaved differently, it spread to other would-be criminals in similar situations. This entire New York City crime situation changed almost overnight, and within 5 years, murders dropped 64%, and the number of serious crimes fell by almost half. The city's criminals, says Gladwell, had caught an anti-crime virus. He writes, this world may seem immovable, but with the slightest push in just the right place, it can be tipped. Yet, even if we agree that a difference can be made through the exercise of our power, we still may not believe that we actually have any power in the first place. Perhaps you've heard of the Stradivari Society, which entrusts expensive violins to world-class violinists who could never afford them. 17th and 18th century violins made by masters like Stradivari produce an incomparably beautiful sound. And now, of course, they sell for millions of dollars. With climbing values, they are highly attractive to investors. But the thing is, great violins aren't like great works of art that can just be hung on the wall. No, if it isn't played regularly, it'll lose its tone. Such instruments gain in value the more that they are played. So owners of the world's greatest violins are looking for first-rate musicians to use them. The fee? Well, the fee is that they have to give a command performance to their donors twice a year. So I'm thinking that from the faith perspective, God, like the Stradivari Society, entrusts exquisite instruments into our care. We've been given the gift of great value that God once used, delighting to hear beautiful music from our lives. The problem is that while these musicians know that they have been given an incredible gift, we may not recognize our own gifts. And so many times they go idle. But consider this. If I take a $20 bill and I ask you if you want it, I'm guessing that most of you would say yes. And don't you wish we were actually in person and I could just hand it over? But here's the thing. If I were to take that $20 bill and crumple it up, would you still want it? I'm guessing the answer is that yes, you would. Or even if I said I was going to take that $20 bill and put it on the floor and grind it under the heel of my shoe, I bet you would still want that $20 bill Because why? Because, of course, it's still worth $20, no matter what I do to it. So here, you know, we can feel like we are ground down by life, by others, by our life circumstances. We can feel that our own decisions or things that have happened to us have ground us down too. We can feel worthless. And I think about the disciples who, after Jesus' death, didn't know what to do. They went back to their nets, of course, until he returned to them to remind them of their value as the light of the world. No matter what has happened or what will happen, we never lose our value. We are still priceless to others. We are still priceless to God. Our life's worth isn't in what we do or who we know. It's in who we are, God's loved and gifted and powerful people. And called people, called. Called because of our great value as the head and heart, the hands and feet of Christ in the world. The feeding of the 5,000, well, yes, that is a miracle story, but it's something else. It's an invitation story. I've reminded us before that this Greek word, miracle, that's translated in the Bible as miracle, is a word that literally means deed of power. Deed of power. Jesus invites us to work with God on powerful deeds. The source of feeding is God. The resources are human. Jesus might have fed the 5,000 without the disciples, but that is not how usually God works. Though we often feel powerless, we are still needed to feed God's children, called and empowered to dispense God's power for positive change, wherever that transformative power is needed. I'm so proud to serve a church that is so committed to sharing God's love. Aware of human need, you use your power to sow seeds of love that will bear fruit in the Natick community and beyond. You use your unique position as Natick's front porch to proclaim a public presence in sharing commitments such as Black Lives Matter, anti-racism, LGBTQ, welcome, opioid crisis awareness. You host conversations and partner with other organizations to educate and to inspire people. What? Well, to put their faith in action. You bring into your worship a passion for how it will draw on our tradition and yet do that so that we can engage the news of the day and the needs of the vulnerable among us. And yes, you too have been called to be a people who respond with what I have called the lasagna brigade, giving people a taste of the good news and a foretaste of the realm of love that God intends everyone to know. You commit church resources and projects and programs and staffing that help you to be that church. And most of you who are able, give of your time and your talent and your treasure to make these things and so much more happen. Again, I am proud to be with you, because it would be easy to stand before God with our hearts breaking from the world's injustice and the world's pain and cry out, look at all the suffering in the world, God, and distress there. Why don't you send some help? And yet you know, church, you know that God did send help. God sent us, and you know it. We have lots of ways that our church engages us in good work. This week, you're likely going to receive a letter inviting you, as we do annually, to consider what you might give of your financial means to make all of this possible in the coming year. This is a time when the light of the world, who we are, is desperately needed by people cast in the shadows of pandemic and social unrest and political divisions and so much more. And I hope that you will make a choice to use what you have so that together we can shine such light in ways that demonstrate we take seriously the power that we have been given and the world's need to receive that special light that we carry into its darkened corners. We are so fond of saying things like power corrupts, and I get it. We rightly want to note power's destructive side. We see it all over the place, the misuse of power. But here's the thing. A false sense of powerlessness also corrupts. No, we are God's woodpile, full of promise, full of potential. But unlike logs of wood, we don't have to wait for anyone to come along and make us useful. It's up to us to make the labor that created us worthwhile, to use our energy, to create light and heat, activity rather than decay. For we are full of power to change people's lives, to make a meaningful life for ourselves, and also to tip the world, God's way. May our loving God make it so. Amen. We come to a time now when we lift up the lives of those who we care about, those who we know about, and some who are strangers to us. We come to a time when we share concerns and celebrations, those joys and distresses that we have in our lives. We come because we know that we live and love a God who is able to meet us in every kind of life circumstance. And so we come as a people willing to be vulnerable before our God, willing to lift up the brokenness of our lives, but also willing to share the many joys that we have. And so we come as whole people who feel the great need to be made even more whole and to be part of making the world as whole as possible. There are many concerns and celebrations that you will find listed in our church's worship bulletin, but I want to turn now to Wayne Zaretter to let us know about other celebrations and concerns that have been shared with us before and during our worship this day.
Good morning. Prayers of healing go out to Anna Hayes as she undergoes a diagnostic procedure and awaits results. Thoughts and prayers to the friends and family of Chris Gentry, whose 82-year-old father, Don O'Meara, died on Sunday, October 18th, of a blood disease caused by chemotherapy treatment. Please hold Chris and her family in prayer during this tender time of remembrance and goodbye. Together, we pray for wisdom for teachers as they engage in difficult shares or conversations with their students. Lastly, we celebrate the good news that Bill Ladd's friend, Mark, who is on a ventilator and had been in septic shock for the past couple of weeks in Atlanta, has had a wonderful turnaround. He was extubated this past Friday and continues to improve.
Thank you, Wayne. Thank you. Let us be together in prayer. Holy One, giver of all things, as hard as it may be for us to accept, we know deep down that nothing we have is truly our own. We might want to think differently, but everything we think we possess is on loan from you. It's a trust that we are charged to administer as well as we can while we walk the earth. And so we ask, Holy One, that you might forgive us. Forgive us for believing the labors of our own hands alone have gotten us what we enjoy. We forget that the strength and the determination and the intelligence by which we have profited are also on loan from you. Help us to look beyond what we would like to get, to see what we would like to be able to give. Help us put all the store of time and talent you have given us into amassing the only kind of treasure we will take with us when we leave this world, the treasures of generosity and of compassion and of love. The legacy of people who have come to praise you because through us they felt your bountiful care. Give us strength to stand fast against a culture where even children are judged by their possessions, a culture that shames those who do not have the fancy toys and gadgets of their neighbors. Show us all that life does not consist in the abundance of possessions, but in the abundance of love and faith. Forgive us when we close our hearts against those whom it is in our power to help. Forgive us when in weakness we ask you for more than we really have any right to receive. Free us from our shallow dependence on bank books and titles and credit cards and deeds for security, et cetera, in the face of an unknown future. Holy One, we look to you. We look to you to create in us what we need most of all, the faith to trust that you are well able to provide for all that we truly need. Help us rely on you to take care of our earthly needs while we are taking care of the needs of others. Make us firm in the resolves we have made concerning what portion of our resources we consecrate to your use. Defend us against faithless fears about our finances as you show us that you are everything we need, and help us to recall the power you have placed in our hands and choose to use it where it can bring about your changes, the ones that you intend in this world. We ask these things in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Wisdom, costly cross, grace. time our eyes for serving, that your will on earth be done. All at peace in health and freedom, races joined, the church made one. Now direct our daily labor, lest we strive alone in vain. Use our talents, guide our service, that our work your love proclaim. Treasure to you have entrusted, gain through powers your grace conferred. Ours to use for home and kindred, and to spread the gospel word. Open wide our hands for sharing, as we heed Christ's ageless call. Healing, teaching, and reclaiming, honoring you by loving all. Lend your joy to all our giving, let it light our pilgrim way. From the night of anxious keeping, lead us into generous day. Then when years on earth are over, and we've lived our human span, God fulfill beyond our dreaming, all our loving work began.
Beloved, arise now and go to transform the world without fear of failure, confident that the measure of our success is the measure of our faithfulness. For the blessing of God who calls us to be faithful, not successful people, of Christ who forms us of the church, and of the Holy Spirit who empowers us for our mission is upon us. Go now in the peace of Christ. Amen.